sun sits low, diffusing its usual glow.
Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music is set to close out the 2022-23 season at Kerner Hall in downtown Toronto this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you have four shows to choose from. My understanding, Saturday is the place to look. The production follows up a very successful staging of Sondheim's Follies in 2021 and features returning talent Cynthia Dale, director Richard Azunian, our special guest this afternoon, Eric McCormack, Fiona Reid, Gabby Epstein, Tess Benger, Dan Chamaroy, and 12-year-old Annie Grunwald are also part of the cast, and music director David Briskin will conduct the full Broadway score. Sondheim created a musical masterpiece from Ingmar Bergman's comedy Smiles of a Summer Night, A Little Night Music, set in Sweden in 1900 and centers around Desiree Armfelt, an actress, and the men who are in love with her, a lawyer, Frederick Egerman, and Count Carl Magnus Malcolm. When Desiree returns to Frederick's hometown, their love is reminded. This begins a flood of jealousy between Desiree, Frederick, Frederick's wife, Anne, and the Count's wife, Charlotte. It's a lot of people. And it is both dramatic, it is comedic, heartbreaking, hilarious. A Little Night Music includes the popular song Send in the Clowns, as well as The Miller's Son and A Weekend in the Country. The show runs this Friday night at 8, Saturday at 3 and 8, and Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets at rcmusic.com. Playing Frederick Egerman, actor Eric McCormack. He grew up a theater kid here in Toronto, went on to Stratford, then moved to film and television. By the mid-80s, he landed a musical film role in The Boys from Syracuse and continued his career with characters in Street Justice and Lonesome Dove. He came close to landing a role in a series titled Friends, but instead was given the part of Will Truman in the groundbreaking network comedy Will and Grace. The program earned Eric an Emmy and has enjoyed two successful runs on television. McCormack debuted on Broadway in 2001. And has continued to make stage appearances. Other TV and film projects include Atypical, Travelers, Perception, and Pound Puppies. Eric McCormack is with us. Welcome back to the New Classical FM.
Thank you. I'm sure glad you got Pound Puppies in there.
Now, I know maybe I don't look it, but I do have a grandson.
And you don't.
He's a Paw Patrol man, so I don't know if you ever get into trouble.
We'll never compete with Paw Patrol, I'm afraid. But we do have our rabid following.
You do. And voice still part of your life? Is that something you do?
Not as much. Yeah. There hasn't been as much time, but it really was fun for the 3 years or so that we did that one.
What's life looking like? Aside from what you're doing right now, what is life in Vancouver, LA?
And I'm busier. I just turned 60. I'm busier than
you don't look at my friend.
In years. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's kind of nuts. Post COVID, I mean, we finished the Will and Grace reboot just before COVID. You know, the whole world took a year off. And then as the project started to come in, they're just now starting to get released. So I did three different seasons of series television that are all sort of appearing in the next 6 months, which I'm excited about. I'm about, as soon as I finish this project on Sunday, I'm flying the next morning to New York to return to Broadway.
That's so great.
It's pretty exciting.
What are you doing on Broadway?
It is a new comedy called The Cottage, written by a young woman named Sandy Rustin. And Jason Alexander of Seinfeld fame is directing it.
Certainly a stage favorite as well.
He directed me in The Fantastics 11 years ago in Los Angeles. And so I can't wait for that. It is just I've been wanting for years to do a new play, a comedy, in New York, just to experience that. The wonderful thing about Will and Grace, it was like a stage play. We did it every episode in front of an audience of about 250 every week. So I miss that. I really have been missing it. And this getting back here to Toronto with this show and finding these laughs, hopefully, I think there's a lot of laughs in this show, personally, is just going to be exhilarating.
I can't wait. I'll get a New Yorker in about 2 to 3 weeks' time, and I'll be reading about The Cottage.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be right there. And I'll go, I wish I could go, but you can go.
We're running till October.
That is a chunk of time.
Halloween.
Yeah, so that's a good chunk of time. We talked on the phone in 2021. You were here to perform Sondheim's Follies. You're back with a lot of the same people. So there's something you like about this group that you're willing to come back and put this into your schedule in between Broadway and TV.
There's a number of things. First of all, Richard Azunian directed me in Pericles in 1986.
There you go.
So And then again in Midsummer Night's Dream at Stratford. So we've had a long history. He's always been very good to me. I've known Cynthia off and on for 30 years. And the experience that we had doing Follies was great because it had been a while since I sing constantly because of karaoke. Don't we all?
What's your go-to, real quick, by the way?
It changes all the time. I do a lot of Bee Gees. Lately, I do a lot of Bread.
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 Wow, that is a specific thing.
A thousand words,
I love it.
Why can't I paint you?
By the way, who doesn't love a Bee Gees track?
Exactly.
The whole career.
The whole career. Yeah. But what I loved about the Follies experience was, and this can be the frustrating part too, it's very quick. It's only a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's back in my hometown. And it's only four performances. Now, I don't know. I've been out of it for so long. Doing eight shows a week in New York or Toronto, singing, it's been a while. I'd have to really get in shape. But four on a weekend, we can do that.
And so nice to be back. And when you come to Toronto, I mean, what happens? Do you have a home that you can fall into?
Or I mean, I have
Airbnb schlepping like the rest of us?
Oh, yeah. Any number of hotels nearby. But my brother and sister both live downtown.
That's
which
nice.
Is great. I've got so many friends here from my... And I really didn't leave the Toronto area, when you think of Stratford, et cetera, until I was almost 30 and went to Vancouver. So this will always be home, and I love having any reason to get back here, even if it's just for a fundraiser for a weekend, any chance just to walk around my town.
The old town. You know, something that made an impression on me, and we read about in a press release that this is happening, and it's all these great stars and names we're familiar with, but then you see the rehearsal photos, and there you guys all are, getting down to work, reading through scripts, working together, and I think sometimes we forget that happens, right? That there's this hard, gritty work that goes into...
It's so funny. I just walked off the stage to talk to you, and we were rehearsing the number The Glamorous Life, which is very much about that. It's just about packing up the luggage, doing a show in another town, packing up again. It's obviously an ironic title because it's not that glamorous most of the time, unless we get to do radio interviews.
Yeah, right.
But
look at us.
Look at us, how glamorous this is. And I realized that I missed that. Next week I'll be starting rehearsal of another play, and we got to put it on its feet in a month, which sounds like a lot of time, but it's really not.
No.
When you think of how much it takes to put up a show that people are going to pay a lot of money to
see. That's right, and make it spectacular and make it that high bar of quality that people expect on Broadway.
Yeah,
right?
But so the day-to-day of particularly rehearsal is not glamorous.
No. Your relationship with Stephen Sondheim now, he recently passed. I know you had met him at one point, kind of a funny run-in. You've been a part of two productions fairly recently here in Toronto. So where does he sit in your mind right now, especially when it's so fresh with these rehearsals?
Well, my introduction to musical theater in my teens was doing Godspell and Pippin and these much more simple musicals. I saw Evita, and I loved that. When I was 18, it was my first Broadway show. But then I was introduced to Sweeney Todd, which is just sort of one of those things where you go, oh, there's another level of
this. We could do it this way.
Layer. Yeah.
Yes.
There's somebody out there who's doing this at a level that is insane. And so that show has always stuck with me and everybody that knows it.
It's on Broadway right now.
It's on Broadway again.
Groban.
And Annalee Ashford, I think her name is. I can't wait to see. Very excited about that. I worked with Angela Lansbury 11 years ago in New York, and the first moment I had, I just sort of started talking Sweeney Todd all the time. So Sondheim for me, and over the years I've had a chance to do, actually even before, it was around the time I was 18, I was at a dinner theater here in town, and my opening number was another 100 people.
That's the hard work, by the way.
Dinner theater.
Circuit right there.
Yeah. I took over from someone that got sick, and they didn't think I could do the part because they had never... I was a busboy, but I'd been watching the show night after night after night.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got out there my first night. I think it was 15 people in the audience, and I went, another 100 people just got off of the train and came up through the ground. So from that song to my love for Sweeney Todd to then over the years I've done, you know, Being Alive... It's Sondheim's 75th birthday at the Hollywood Bowl. I got to sing Not Getting Married Today with Carol Burnett.
Right. Wow. Huge.
Huge. And Stephen was there. And it was pretty amazing to be in the presence of someone that has written so many classics that in some ways are almost unrelated to each other. You look at Pacific Overtures and compare that to Sweeney Todd, you compare that to Follies. His brain was... was bigger than mine. There's no question about it. His depth of talent, unsurpassed.
If you're just joining us, Eric McCormack is our guest, star of stage and screen. He'll be on stage this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Kerner Hall in Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music, and that's ahead of a big Broadway show. rcmusic.com for tickets, or call 416-408-2822. There are several iconic pieces in this show. I mean, Send in the Clowns, I don't know that it really gets old. I think every time I hear it performed, I just...
Agreed. And it also, it's a hell of a thing to, if you think you know the song, see it in context.
Right.
To hear it the first few times, you think it's about clowns, or right. You think it's about...
I think it was originally Send in the Fools, right? That was his original
That I didn't know. Yeah. But it's very much just about, look at us at this age, how we've been dancing around the truth for so long, how
that's
we've been, as you say, fooling ourselves. It has such a deep melancholy when it suddenly shows up in the middle of the second act.
I love
and
that.
You go, oh, yeah, they've earned this song. This isn't the cliche we thought it was. This is... a part of the fabric of this show.
Right, so the real bedrock of that heartbreak.
Yeah.
It is also noted that it can be pretty challenging to sing for most of the cast anyway, uh-huh. And all that signature Sondheim counterpoint with the multiple voices,
yes.
Different lyric content happening all at once. I'm sure that's something that you've experienced before, but it's always a trick.
This particular one for me, I have my young wife, I'm married to someone 40 years younger than me in the show, and then I have a son from a previous marriage, and the three of us have this trio that is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, because we are not singing the same song in harmony. We're singing three different songs at the same time on top of each other, and it's incredible.
It's Bach
Bach,
it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You know. It is the most challenging thing I've done in a while.
Let's talk about Frederick Egerman, lawyer, love interest. Really, there's a tangled web of jealousy and passion. Tell us about this character. You've stepped into his shoes over the last couple of weeks.
There comes a point in your life when you realize, oh, I'm the right age for certain parts.
People try to get to Lear and so on, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know that I ever have a Lear in me, but you know, when I did Glengarry Glen Ross, it was because my friends and I in Vancouver went, oh, we're 45. Like, we can do this now. This is not just some scene in theater school. And it's the same.
That must have been so much fun.
Oh, that was a really, really good production directed by Michael Shimada.
We digress.
But and here's a role here where... the role is supposed to be an older man that really has seen a lot, done a lot, raised a son, lost a wife, married a young wife because he sort of, why not? Why would you? And then the first song I have in this show, which I think is hysterical, a bit of a patter song, she's just chattering on, looking in the mirror, brushing her hair, worried that she has pimples. And I basically say to the audience, now I have two choices. I could ravish her or I could nap. Which I think is a funny lyric if I'm 40, but at 60, it's like, yeah, that's a toss up.
And a lyric that
sex
will
or sleep.
Stand the test of time for
100%.
A long while.
And so it's really fun. And I didn't know this show very well. So to discover it at this age, discover a character who I think certain audiences might wonder as he vacillates between a true love for her. And a love for this woman he knew 14 years ago, Cynthia's character, Desiree. It's not black. There's nothing black and white. Everything in this show, particularly with this character and these loves, is gray. And what's going to win in the end? What mature decision will he make?
You've given us some real teasing here to what to expect of the show and how we're going to enjoy it. And especially for those who've seen it, for those who haven't, I think there's a lot to chew on here. You enjoy this life on the road? I just got back from Vienna, Budapest, Prague.
Wow.
And I took 60 Classical FM listeners. We went all over Europe. And I thought, I'm glad I never became a rock star, because this life is... crazy, and yet you do it. It's hotels, it's travel.
It is. I have a, I wouldn't say love hate. I love it until I hate it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to love New York, but probably by mid-September, I'll be like, okay, I've said these words. I've lived in this apartment. It's time to go home to my dog. And my wife.
And we love it. And Eric McCormack, you will be on stage this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Kerner Hall. Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music. Just a real treat. Thank you for spending
for
some
too.
Time with us.
Thanks, man. Come on, everybody. It's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. Have a look at tickets right now. Apparently, the best bet is Saturday at the moment, so some good tickets there. rcmusic.com, or you can call 416-408-2824. Four performances to choose from.